I'm Brad Caldwell. We got Bill Harshaw here. And Bill, it was a big time week in high school football again this last week. I feel like where we're at today, 2020, it's always a big time week to actually get a chance to play.
It really is. I mean, a lot of these kids don't know if they're going to play this week or not. I know that a lot of games throughout the entire season, you work 3 or 4 days installing a game plan against whoever that opponent may be, only to find out a day or two before the game that this thing is canceled. And so, you know, a lot of kids don't know, are we really going to play this Friday? Right. I mean, we've had cancellations all season long.
You know, the dynamic that I'm really interested in now, and we've got one game that we're going to highlight here in what went down in primetime, our first segment, is the dynamic of these games that are supposed to happen and then they don't happen, and then these matchups that come out of it. And we have a couple of them actually that we're going to hit on, one of them being Warren and Boonville. Like, we were talking pre-show, and I'm like, Warren and Boonville, you what?
Where did this game come from, and why didn't we talk about it last week? Because, you know, listen, Boonville knocked off one. They knocked off a good Dardanelle team as a good win for the Bearcats. And Warren, you look, year in and year out, you can count that Warren is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
And so the same thing is for Boonville. So we look down at who played who, and right there in primetime, we're looking at Warren and Boonville going, wow, that would have been a game.
Absolutely. But before we get to that, we are going to talk about what went down in primetime. And we're going to get to probably the game of the week in the state, which was North Little Rock and Conway. And this big 7A Central matchup, I feel like it lived up to the billing, Bill. 39-37, the final score of North Little Rock taking the victory over Conway at Conway. You know, a team that we had talked about with Wes Moore last week in North Little Rock being a possible contender to Bryant in the 7A Central. They were able to jump out to a lead on Conway and able to hold on, but you know, Conway used some of that energy from that home crowd to make a comeback, and you know, Conway was a legitimate contender to North of Rock this last week, but fell just a little bit short.
Fell just a little short, and of course, there was some prime time athlete and performances going on in that game. Conway tallied up a total of 504 total yards. 439 of that was through the air. So it was very effective in the passing game. And you look at one performance that we've been kind of drooling over all week long, and that's Ben Weiss, 448 yards, 4 touchdowns. Wow.
Right. Oh, yeah, he had a big-time game. We'll highlight him at the end of the show. North Little Rock, 303 yards on the ground, 148 yards passing. They were able to take the victory over Conway. Cabot traveled to Collierville, Tennessee this last week. And, again, one of those matchups that you didn't know you were going to get until you got it. And Cabot was able to, on the back of quarterback Tyler G. Now, or G, not sure exactly. We'll have to figure that out. But with that being said, when you think about Conway, you think about the ball being on the ground. And when I say the ball on the ground, I mean the running game, not necessarily fumbling. But they pass now. You know, Conway or Cabot's a passing team now, much like Conway. Conway's the same way. If you think about way back when Peyton Hillis and Kevin Wardlow played for those two, or for Conway, they were wing T attack back then. I remember one of the best high school football games I ever watched was Conway versus Russellville in the playoffs that one year. But back to Cabot. Cabot goes to Collierville, Tennessee, wins 38-31. Mason Bell, 10 receptions, 118 yards, and a touchdown. Cabot took a 24-17 lead into the half and was able to cruise to the 38-31 victory.
Definitely. And now that score, you got to point out that Collierville was able to get 2 touchdowns late in the game. So when you look at that final score, 38-31, it wasn't as close as that score indicates.
It's always big when an Arkansas team can cross state lines and win. And, you know, Arkansas has actually fared very well this year, crossing state lines and winning those ball games against Kansas teams, Missouri teams, now Tennessee. You know, Bryant was able to beat Trinity out of Texas. Unfortunately, Pulaski Robinson went down to Texas this last week and got a chance to play Trinity and got it handed to him pretty good.
And it sure did. And that wasn't a good game for Robinson. Of course, Robinson, we've talked about them already. They are a good ball club year in and year out. You know that if you go down to take on the Senators, that you're going to be looking at a hard-fought ball
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. Jonesboro beat Sheridan 52-27. Jonesboro is a team I'm looking at in the 6A East. We're looking forward to next week. We're going to talk some Northeast Arkansas football with sports director from KAIT Channel 8 in Jonesboro, Chris Hutchinson. Jonesboro won 52-27. Jonesboro's played a pretty tough schedule coming into the game against Sheridan. That ball game was a one-score game for in the third quarter, I think. And then Jonesboro ended up with a 52-27 victory. Marco Avant is a guy that committed to the Razorbacks, outside linebacker. He had 83 tackles last season. He's definitely a guy to watch for the Hurricanes. And then you look at Jonesboro, and I kind of look at them to battle Searcy in that 6A East.
For sure, you know, Searcy in that 6A East, they are holding their own. And Jonesboro definitely big win over Sheridan this week.
One of the games that I highlighted last week was Little Rock Christian, Whitehall. Whitehall, Bobby Bowling has jumped over from Pine Bluff coaching in Whitehall. Been a couple years now since he's done that, getting that program going over there. Little Rock Christian, they have proven themselves over and over again the last couple years to be the real contender to PA in the 5A, and it looks like this year is going to be no different. They came out with a 38-14 victory over Whitehall and really got out 38-7 and cruised to that victory. Little Rock Christian is just one of the teams that you definitely have to watch in the 5A.
Without a doubt, Christian always a competitive, like you said, matchup very well against PA. PA, they're in a class of their own. Let's face it, they do what they do, and nobody else does
Absolutely.
What they do. And there's a reason for that, and we'll see if Christian has a response to it this year.
Warren, again, we touched on it earlier. Warren come out with a 42-35 victory over Boonville, one of the all name games of the season. You know, Boonville and Warren actually they've met in the playoffs, met in state title games, and what is now the 4A. Boonville has moved down into 3A play, where they seem to be kind of staying there now. But these two met on the gridiron. Boonville jumped out, 14-0 lead, but the speed and the athleticism of Warren was just too much to overcome.
And that's what you get. You know, Warren is a very, very good ball team. Let's face it. Those Lumberjacks know what they're doing. I don't know what's in the water. I don't know what they're feeding those guys, but it probably has something to do with some corn, some corn fed
people. Some tomatoes.
Some tomatoes, some potatoes.
Absolutely.
Get that meat and potatoes going. And they definitely have the meat and potatoes lined out for them in offensive terms. They know how to score some points.
They absolutely do. Cedric Calvert came back and played for the first time this year. 9 carries, 145 yards. That's a nice addition, no doubt about that. Traylon Marshall, 9 carries, 63 yards. And Maddox Laster, his sophomore, made his first start for the Lumberjacks. 8 of 13, 169 yards passing. And just like that, Warren is back.
Warren's back. You know, as if they ever went anywhere, of
right.
course. You know, Boonville, week in and week out, Boonville is going to be competitive,
right.
just like Warren. But you look at that offensive production that we're seeing, Cedric Calvert playing for the first time, and 9 carries, 145. You mentioned that. Those are great stats for somebody who hasn't seen the game slow down at that level. And that's pretty impressive.
Well, and we can also speak a little bit about Boonville, you know, being over here in the River Valley as we are. that Boonville is a 3A team that plays like a 4A team. And really, you know, most teams in the 3A just don't even have a shot to play against them or compete against them in that 3A. They really, I mean, they beat a good Dardanelle team, as you said, 35-14 earlier this year. And, you know, they're really the creme de la creme of the 3A. I mean, they're going to be a team that's going to be competing for a state championship in the 3A this year. And they went down to Warren. They acquitted themselves well. Unfortunately for them, just not quite enough to get over the hump as Warren won 42-7.
And that as it be, I can promise you that there will be a team in the third or fourth round of the playoffs that's looking at Boonville and is going to go home crying in the root beer because Boonville is going to take care of business.
Oh, Boonville's a tough team. And, of course, there's, you know, matchups are what the playoffs are all about. And, of course, this year is just a completely different animal when it comes to the playoffs. In fact, we'll have to get somebody on this show to talk about kind of what the plan is going forward with the playoffs and kind of what they think the contingency plans could be. But with that being said, in those playoffs, both Warren and Boonville are going to be forces to be reckoned with in the 4A and the 3A.
Another big game that we had in prime time last week, we look over at Greenwood taking on Mountain Home, a 40-7 win. Yep. For Greenwood to stay undefeated on the season.
Yeah, and before we get to that, though, there's one more game that we do want to highlight, and that is Atkins winning on the very last play of the ball game the other night at Perryville. Now, we talked about this being a great rivalry game, and you know, there's all kinds of wonderful rivalry reach around the state. I mean, you know, different places, there's different dynamics. Perryville and Atkins have seemed to be in the same conference now for quite a while. And these two went toe-to-toe last week, Bill, and you're an Atkins grad.
That's right.
So you know a little bit about this, but these two went toe-to-toe at Perryville, and Atkins was able to come away with the 50-44 victory on the very last play of the game.
And that's huge. You know, I've played for Atkins against Perryville at Perryville. Let me tell you, those Mustangs, they're scrappy. These kids, they never let down. They don't have any quit in them. And to force Atkins to go to the very last play of the game. We've seen several games this year end on a last-second, last-play-of-the-game type scenario, and it's always good to see my alma mater pull one off.
Absolutely, and a name that you need to remember, and, you know, if you're a college and you're looking for athletes, this kid right here, Donovan Nooner, has stepped up his game tremendously this year. 288 total yards last week against Perryville, 155 rushing, 33 receiving, and then he had 100 kickoff yards and one touchdown for the Red Devils as they were able to overcome and beat Perryville and really set themselves up to be in contention in that 3A-4 where Boonville is there, and we really feel like the Boonville is the favorite in that conference. But Atkins and Paris, now I look at those two teams as teams that will be fighting it out for second place. Of course, I don't know if Paris has played Boonville just yet. I'd have to look, but I know that Atkins has Boonville coming up. And so I know that they're going to be ready, and I know they're not conceding anything over there in Red Devil land, but right now we'd have to say that Boonville's a favorite in that conference. But Paris and Atkins are definitely true contenders for second place in that conference.
And, of course, Paris, we mentioned Paris. They took on a Hector team last second after Hector's game was canceled last week. And they put on a show against Hector. And we know that Hector is a pretty good ball team.
They are a good, solid 2A ball club for sure. Paris took care of business there. Paris is 5-0, and rumor has it, and we haven't been able to check it out just yet, but rumor has it that Paris is 5-0 for the first time since 1969. Now, we're going to have to do some checking on that off the Twitterverse there. So folks were letting me know that, hey, Paris is playing some ball over here, and they are. They're playing very well, kind of out of nowhere this year. They've kind of come up. I think they were picked fourth in their conference, and now they really look like it's going to be between them and Atkins for second place in the conference. Well, like you said, Greenwood is one of those teams that we always talk about in the primetime slots. And Greenwood did go to Mountain Home last week and win 40-7. Greenwood is a true contender in the 6A, always a true contender. And you know what? You're about to hear an awesome interview from Greenwood linebacker Jordan Hanna. Hanna is a 17th rated player in the state by 24/7 Sports, getting lots of looks in college. We're going to let him tell you a little bit about that right after this. You're watching Primetime Preps. You're listening to Primetime Preps on all of the ESPN Arkansas platforms.
Here in the heart of the River Valley is St. Mary's Regional Health System. Here is the area's most comprehensive range of medical services, along with advanced treatment options and responsive emergency care. Here is our team of more than 900 professionals who bring healthcare to life through people caring for people. And it is here where you can count on St. Mary's to always be, because to us, community matters. For more than 90 years, our investment in our community has been unmatched. And today, that couldn't be stronger. St. Mary's, we're here for you.
Joining us on the Giroux & Associates hotline is Jordan Hanna, middle linebacker at Greenwood. Jordan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Well, glad to have you on Primetime Preps.
Thank you, sir. I'm excited to be on it.
Awesome. Jordan is the 17th ranked player in Arkansas by 24/7 Sports. And Jordan, you know, you're at a big time program like Greenwood. Tell us a little bit about your season so far.
Season's going well. We're 5-0, 4-0 in non-conference, and 1-0 in conference. So, you know, on paper, we're doing pretty good. I think there's still a lot we can work on. There's a lot we need to work on, and I just don't think we need to be content. So right. That's kind of how our season's going.
So 5-0, I mean, you guys are – you always expectation at Greenwood. There's always the expectation. You don't just – you know, you don't just go to the playoffs. You guys play for state championships. What's it like playing at a program like that with such high expectations?
It's awesome. You know, they hold you to a standard here that you would like to be held to – you know, throughout your life, and that standard is excellence, you know, throughout the program, you know, from the time you're a young guy in pit bulls all the way through the middle school program and all the way on up to the high school program. They hold you to I would say not settling for less than what you can achieve, and I think that's one thing that they're really good at, is just preaching that.
Now, you guys just had a coaching change. I mean, legendary coach Rick Jones. Tell us about the new coaching staff and the differences and the similarities between them.
The new coaching staff is very knowledgeable, hardworking guys, kind of like our last staff. The difference is, you know, we just don't know them that well. Well, I mean, I say that, but we do now. But we just haven't been around them for as long as the other guys. So, I mean, that's, I would say, one difference. They're a different group of guys, or I guess, yeah, a different group of guys than we had last time. You know, it's the culture's still the same, but the people are different. That's kind of the best way to put it.
Well, I mean, that's obvious. You know, you should, you know, you're going to have some changes. You're going to have some newness there, and what's that newness like there? I mean, you guys seem to have not missed a beat.
It's kind of refreshing. You know, it's a challenge in itself to, you know, get to relate to them and get to talk to them and meet them. and see where they come from, see their backgrounds. They're all great coaches. And I think that has to do with, you know, our success so far this season with those guys.
So you guys have had a weird season too, because you've had some games that were canceled. A lot of teams are going through that right now. And then some impromptu games, like Bentonville West was one of those games. How have you guys dealt with that, like preparation-wise? You guys start preparing for one team at the beginning of the week, and by the end of the week you're playing another one. How have y'all dealt with that?
You know, most of the weight gets thrown on the coaches. They're here all weekend prepping and stuff, game planning for one team. And then, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday, we get changed to another team, and they're here all night putting in a game plan for that team. And I just think they do a great job of explaining the game plan, explaining what our jobs are in our scheme. And, yeah, that's basically the biggest part of it, is just those coaches. They help us out a lot, and all we have to do is go out there and play football.
Well, that's great. That's what a coaching staff's supposed to do, especially a good one like at Greenwood, right?
Absolutely.
So you guys got a different schedule this year as far as 6A West goes. I mean, a little bit of a different conference. New teams moving in, old teams moving out. El Dorado moved out, but now you've got Mountain Home. Little Rock Parkview has moved into the conference. Little Rock Hall moved out. Of the games that you've got left, what are some of the games that you're looking forward to the most?
Obviously I'm looking forward to state championship. I'm looking forward to playing Benton. That's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to playing Searcy. You know, obviously those are the two teams that beat us last year, and I think we kind of got a chip on our shoulder about that, and we just want to go in and whoop those guys. But yeah, those are the two that we're most looking forward to right now.
I wouldn't expect anything less from a Greenwood guy, no doubt. That's awesome, man. I love to hear that. Now, like I said, you're the 17th ranked player in the state by 24/7 Sports. You got a brother that's at Arkansas right now. Tell us a little bit about your recruitment right now and kind of what you're looking at.
So I'm currently offered by Southern Miss, Austin Peay, University of Central Missouri, Pittsburgh State, Arkansas Tech. And yeah, that's it right now. But currently, I've got a few coaches that are talking to me from Boston College. I've got a coach talking to me from Penn State, and I've got a coach in contact with me from Syracuse. So those are the three that are looking at me right now.
I gotcha. You got any favorites right now?
Any favorite school that are talking to me, or
yeah, just any, school any general? Of them?
In general, I would say I like Colorado Boulder, just because I like Colorado out there. Ones that are recruiting me right now, I like Boston College. So
okay. Well, Jordan, man, we're going to be keeping up with you through the rest of this season and just following Greenwood. Of course, we know that you guys are going to be a player in the end in the 6A West and in the 6A in general. And we're going to be watching you. And, man, we want to keep up with what's going on with you. So let us know if you've got anything new. And, man, we'll stay in touch down the road, okay?
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Jordan. That's Jordan Hanna, Greenwood middle linebacker on the Jerome Associates Hotline. And we'll be back right after this with more Primetime Preps.
Here, in the heart of the River Valley, is St. Mary's Regional Health System. Here is the area's most comprehensive range of medical services, along with advanced treatment options and responsive emergency care. Here is our team of more than 900 professionals who bring healthcare to life through people caring for people. And it is here where you can count on St. Mary's to always be. Because to us, community matters. For more than 90 years, our investment in our community has been unmatched. And today, that couldn't be stronger. St. Mary's, we're here for you.
Welcome back to Primetime Preps. On the Giroux & Associates hotline, we've got high school sports aficionado Kyle Sutherland, and he is a part of Rock City Sports. Is that right? Rocktown Sports. That's right.
Rocktown Sports, yes, sir.
Rocktown Sports and the Hog Talk Podcast. Man, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on. It's an honor.
So, we just got done talking to Jordan Hanna from Greenwood, and, you know, Greenwood is having another great year this year. I mean, just really what you come to expect at Greenwood. Man, over the last 20 years, really, Greenwood has become one of the premier programs in the state. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing out of the Bulldogs this season.
Yeah, Greenwood's had quite the dynasty, starting back even when I was in high school with Daniel Stegall, Tyler Wilson, just has continued on from there. And, you know, beating Bentonville West, we knew they were going to have a really good team this year, but we really saw what they were about when they beat Bentonville West. And I know that you mentioned Jordan. He's actually been on the Hog Talk a couple of months ago. Porter Hayes, one of our co-hosts, interviewed him. I actually didn't speak with him myself, but that's one guy. I know he's got a couple of D1 offers right now, but I definitely think that he, since we're singling him out, that he is a P5 player, no doubt.
Yeah, he talked about some of his offers. Boston College was one of the teams that was looking at him. He even talked about Penn State looking at him on the phone with me earlier this year. But Greenwood having another successful year, even though they've made a little bit of a coaching transition.
Yeah, you know, I don't really know a ton about. I knew that they had that Rick Jones had retired. I just got back from Texas in March, so I was a little bit out of the loop. I've just now actually just started covering high school sports in terms of writing articles and stuff this year, so I was familiar with it. I think didn't they promote their defensive coordinator? I know, wasn't it from within?
You know, I think that's correct.
Yeah.
I believe you're right. And Rick Jones, you know, he moved on to Missouri, actually, as a consultant up there, I believe, with yes. Eli Drinkwitz. Eli Drinkwitz is a former high school football coach here in the state at Alma, Springdale, and then he followed on with Gus Malzahn down at Auburn, and just kind of has worked his way up the ranks and has become a head coach in the SEC. It's pretty it's got to be inspiring to some of the coaches around here just to keep putting your head down, keep working, and see what happens.
Yeah, that's Eli's a great story. I think he said he's from Alma and was at Springdale with Gus. I want to say the Springdale 05 team with Mitch Mustang and all those guys are at least around that time. So, you know, he and Gus and they're just two of the names that have been, and you date all the way back to Wilson Matthews. There's been a lot of high school coaches that have gone to do great things in college, and Eli could very well be the next one.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about cancellations. Things have happened throughout the state canceling games, and you talked about Greenwood and Bentonville West matching up with each other. That was an impromptu game. We've seen a lot of that. I think Cabot played Collierville, Tennessee this last week because of COVID cancellations. How have you seen the COVID cancellations affecting games and teams this year?
Man, you look at just start with the 5A. You look at Greenwood and Parkview that was supposed to be played on September 25th. It was a no contest. And then Maumelle High didn't play against BB last Friday. As far as I know, they're not even going to practice again until October 14th. So I guess about another week or so from now. And when it's really hitting is the 4A. With Arkadelphia having to cancel, this is going to be, I believe, their third straight week that they won't be playing. And they're one of the top teams. So they had to cancel contest with Robinson and Nashville. I mean, there's arguably your top three teams right in all of 4A right there. And poor Robinson, they had a tough weekend against Trinity Christian. Bryant, I was actually at the game with Bryant and Trinity Christian a couple of weeks ago that came down to the wire, and Bryant won 44-40. But, man, you know, I respect Coach Escola and his staff for continuing the season and taking what they could get. But, man, that was a really tough Friday night for them going down to Dallas.
Yeah, it was. Of course, Texas football, you know, if you've been down there, I mean, outside of a few teams here in Arkansas, it's really just on another level. The whole thing is just on another level. I got a chance to watch Highland Park play a couple years back, and they played Woodrow Wilson, and Woodrow Wilson wasn't a team that was really a highly respected team, but boy, you could see the talent out there on the field. It was really unbelievable.
Yeah, like I said, I was in Texas from 2017 until this past March, and I was in San Antonio, and it doesn't have quite the high school football that DFW or Houston or Austin does, but just this past fall, I went to see Austin Westlake, which is where Drew Brees, Sam Ellinger, Nick Foles all went, plus then play a San Antonio high school, and I love Arkansas high school football. I played it, so I'm very passionate about it, but yeah, it is just a whole nother level there.
Well, let's talk a little bit of Arkansas high school football other than the COVID cancellations. Big game this last week as North Little Rock beat Conway 39-37. Really a game that kind of sets up a showdown at some point here with Bryant and North Little Rock. Of course, we kind of thought that they were on a collision course anyway. New coach J.R. Eldridge took over at North Little Rock. Tell us a little bit about that game.
Yeah, I've seen North Little Rock twice, and I think really at this – Cabot is a team that not a lot of people are talking about. I think that Bryan is with – I just don't see anybody beating them. I think they're going to end up probably three-peating. But right behind them, you would think that it's North Little Rock off the bat, and we were thinking that it was maybe Conway too, and Conway's still pretty good. I think it was 39-37 that North Little Rock won. But you got to put Cabot in there too. They've been doing some great things under Scott Reed in year two. Scott Reed, obviously a very established coach, I think won two or three state championships down at El Dorado. And so I do think that up until the end of the season when North Little Rock sees Cabot and they see Bryant, that's when we're really going to see. I feel like it's going to be, like I said, Bryant at the top, and then right under them, it's who's going to fight for that number two spot in the 7A Central. But I'll tell you, that running game for North Little Rock, Kareem Cotton, I was there against Central when he had five total touchdowns. Fred O'Donnell, he has scored at least two touchdowns in the game that I've been to. And Steve Sullivan compared Fred O'Donnell, at least his stiff arm, to Darren McFadden. Yeah. I don't know that I would quite go that far, but one way I would compare him to Darren McFadden, if we're going to at all, he's always going to fall forward. Fred's just a guy. He's a stocky running back. He's quick, but, man, he's going to get you that 3 to 4 yards each carry. And I mean, a lot of times I saw him do more than that. I know, I'm not sure where he's at right now, but up until about a week or so ago, I know he was averaging about 10, 11 yards a carry in the 7A. So and that's J.R. Eldridge teams. They play defense and they run the ball. North Little Rock's aerial attack is nothing insanely special, but they definitely, again, they can get the ground game going really quick, and they can play some defense.
They sure can. And moving on down into the 6A, we were talking a little bit about Greenwood. Feel pretty good about Greenwood being in the mix. Who else do you feel like can be in the mix there?
Right behind them, you think about Parkview and Lake Hamilton. Those are the two that come off the bat. I know Benton, I think, was actually the favorite per Hootens. And so I'll be at the Parkview-Benton game at War Memorial this Friday. And Benton's at 3-2, had a pretty questionable loss to Catholic. Catholic, from what I've heard, is playing very tough this year. I think their record's around 2-3 or around .500. But playing really tough. But that was not one that you were expecting Benton to lose. I know that there was probably plenty of us that thought that Bryant was going to win the Salt Bowl. I don't think that was a lot of surprise there, but right under Greenwood, it's probably between Parkview and Lake Hamilton, and it really stinks that that one was a no contest, because yeah, you're going to get Benton and Parkview, but I think we all would have loved to see the Lake Hamilton Parkview matchup too.
Now, have you heard anything about the AAA and kind of what their plans are, if there are some COVID situations in the playoffs?
You know, Brad, all that I've really heard, we actually had Lance Taylor on, I guess it was about 2 or 3 weeks before the season started. Myself and Kevin Bohannon talked with him on the Hog Talk, and pretty much what he said is just they're taking it week by week. Of course, at that time, we didn't even know. My question that I asked him, one of the first ones I asked, was what are y'all going to do about the bus situation? Are y'all going to maybe take two or three, or take one if you're able to? And he said, right now, we're just playing it day by day. And that was about 2 months ago now. So really, that I haven't heard anything new. It's just really each day, because as we've seen with Maumelle, with as we were talking about with Arkadelphia, all these schools that have had to cancel, one day they're playing and one day they're not.
Yeah, I know that it's a nightmare scenario when you have a team that wins a playoff game and then there's, you know, a COVID situation, whatever it might be, whether that be positive test or you know, any kind of quarantining, and then they have to either, I guess, forfeit a playoff game. I mean, I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but, you know, I'm glad I'm not having to make those decisions.
Yeah, that's really tough. I mean, you would think now it seems like just a simple solution for the no contest in the regular season, but clearly you can't. I guess, what do? Flip a coin to see who advances? I mean, it's just it's really tough. I'm with you, man. I really just would not like to be in that position, but it's a lot of adjustment. I mean, as we're seeing, I got on mute right now, the Chiefs-Patriots game, and with what they had to do, that was supposed to be a Sunday afternoon game, and here they had to adjust to Mondays, and we might have to see that as we keep going with the football season.
Right. Moving on down into the 5A, PA seems to be the team to beat in the 5A. Tell us a little bit about teams behind, teams behind them.
I know Wynn's undefeated at 5-0. Harrison's at 4-1, and they're number four. And then number five, you got Maumelle, who again won't be playing for at least another week or so. But if we talk about Greenwood and the dynasty that they've had, PA's right up there too. And I see them taking it again with the out-of-state teams that they've played and beat. They've already had an insanely tough schedule. I mean, starting off with arguably the top 4A team in Robinson, and they're doing the dual threat, the dual quarterbacks again, doing the alternating, and just with Joe Hyman, Jalen Wilcher, just some stud skill players that they have there, and they play some pretty good defense too. I remember playing those Kevin Kelly defenses in high school, and you were just so confused because you didn't know whether they were going to rush nine or drop nine, what they were going to do. So it really, their defense, on when you really think about it, doesn't make a lot of sense to you, but just like everything that they've done, I think that's pretty much their goal, is for it not to make much sense.
Right. Well, you know that Kevin Kelly, he's going to think of things out of the box. Just him all the way up and down. And, of course, they've been greatly successful with it. I mean, really right now seem to be just about unbeatable. The only team that's even touched them over the last couple of years is Little Rock Christian. And it seems like they haven't lost, but maybe those two games in the last 5 years. It seems like they win every game every year, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned, I think I did, if I didn't, I know I mentioned Wynn, but yeah, Little Rock Christian's right up there too. Corey Platt, I think, man, he's a very underrated running back. I know he's committed to A-State right now, but doesn't get the attention that I think he deserves. He's a stud player too, and so Little Rock Christian definitely deserves to be in that mix too, but I really do think the 7A is Bryant's to lose, 6A is Greenwood's to lose, and PA is the team to beat in the 5A.
Who are some players that you feel like that are kind of under the radar that maybe aren't getting as much mention as some of the top guys, maybe some of those Razorback commitments? Who are some of those guys that you would think are not getting talked about enough?
You know, Corey, if you would have asked me that a little earlier, I would have said Corey Platt. Again, I know he's getting college attention, but I definitely think that he is deserving of a lot more. Jordan Hanna, again, we talked about him earlier. I think that he should definitely be up there. His brother's on campus with the Razorbacks, and seen a lot of film on him, seen plenty of his stuff on Huddle, and really like – I've never actually seen him in person, but really like what he has to offer. But then I think a lot of the ones that I've probably got on my mind are the ones that I've mentioned. Kareem Cotton, I know that he's from the quarterback from North Little Rock. I don't think that he'll play quarterback in college. I think he's got like UAPB and a couple of the GAC schools around the state. But him and Fred O'Donnell, they're two guys that I definitely could see. If they keep on doing what they're doing, their recruiting will pick up. And I'm not saying they're going to get a Razorback offer or anything, but definitely those are some guys that are flying under the radar. They're unlike you think about Aaron Outley and Landon Rogers and James Joyner from the class of 2022, and there's many that you could, and I just named them because they're Central Arkansas players. They've gotten a lot of attention for quite a long time now, and I still think that there's plenty of guys in the Central Arkansas area that we have not seen the best of yet.
Yeah, and Central Arkansas has got to be good for the Razorbacks to be good. I mean, that's when you look at the Razorbacks and their heyday. Of course, guys like McFadden come to mind right off the bat. When Little Rock is good in football, it really helps Arkansas.
Yeah, it does. I think back to one of the class of 2008, you know, arguably and definitely, and I tell this to people all the time, definitely nothing that I had to do with, but one of the best classes that we've ever seen come through. You think of Joe Adams, Greg Childs, Jarius Wright, who was the other one? Chris Gregg. Mm-hmm. And then also there was another one in that group named Basman Jones that actually was committed to Arkansas, never made it up there. Zach Stather out of North Little Rock. And I know Warren's not Central Arkansas, but just the state in general. But it seems like we're getting back to that. Now, I know that you guys have probably taken a look at the class of 2022 and seen how deep that is. Then we've got a lot of good ones for 2023 as well. So I think Sam Pittman came in here at the right time, especially for him being an offensive line coach. We've got a lot of those really good recruits coming up in the next couple of years.
All right, Kyle. Well, man, thanks for joining us here on Primetime Preps. We really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll talk to you down the road here.
Yeah, guys, absolutely. Appreciate it.
That's Kyle Sutherland joining us on the Jerome Associates Hotline, and we'll be back with more Primetime Preps right after this.
Here, in the heart of the River Valley, is St. Mary's Regional Health System. Here is the area's most comprehensive range of medical services, along with advanced treatment options and responsive emergency care. Here is our team of more than 900 professionals who bring healthcare to life through people caring for people. And it is here where you can count on St. Mary's to always be, because to us, community matters. For more than 90 years, our investment in our community has been unmatched, and today that couldn't be stronger. St. Mary's, we're here for you.
So glad that you listened or watched us. It's kind of weird, you know, that the transition there, you know?
Right.
It's like
on multiple platforms.
Hey,
you're looking, you're listening, you're seeing, you're believing.
Whatever. Whatever it is. Hopefully you believe in us, and we want to make you a believer in Primetime Preps. And we had Jordan, Hannah, Kyle Sutherland. Thank you guys for joining us this week on Primetime Preps. Now we've got our Primetime Performers coming up. We've got our Primetime Picks coming up. But before that, we want to look at some games that are a little bit under the radar for this week. And so we want to talk about that real quick. Bill, kick us off.
Well, you know, we have Little Rock Catholic at Fort Smith Northside taking on Fort Smith. That's going to be a big matchup.
Absolutely. 7A Central playoff positioning game right there. Two teams that are kind of battling it out. Not going to win the conference, but teams that are trying to vie themselves into that fifth and sixth playoff spots, because in the Central, you know, you've got Bryant, you've got Cabot, you've got Conway, and you got North Little Rock, and those four.
That's a tough, tough
division. Right, those four right there are pretty much guaranteed locks for the playoffs. So these two are battling for that fifth and sixth spot.
So definitely a good under-the-radar game in primetime. We're looking forward to that one as well. Another game going on in primetime this week, Harbor taking on Springdale.
Harbor and Springdale, two big-time rivals. Of course, you know, one of the very few crosstown rivals that you get in the state of Arkansas. You know, you've got your Little Rock teams, you've got your Northwest Arkansas teams, and that's really it. You've got Harbor and Springdale playing each other. Harbor is an unfamiliar territory at 1-4, but they're 1-1 in the conference this season. And then Springdale's 2-3. They're also 1-1 in the conference. Bentonville West seem to be the cream of that conference right there. Those two are battling it out for, it looks like, the 1-2 spots. Looks like those Springdale and Harbor are going to be trying to vie into that 3-4 spots this year. That's a weird league right now because, you know, that's where the power used to be in the state, was in the 7A West and in that Northwest Arkansas area for years and years and years. They won state championship after state championship. And a lot of times it was two of those teams that were playing each other. Now the Central has the strength there, and Bentonville is definitely one of the teams that you can mention for to be state championship contenders. But after that, maybe Bentonville West, but really after that, there's no real state championship contenders in the West. And you know, it's kind of crazy to think that Springdale and Springdale Harbor really aren't, but you never know, man. You can get hot at the right time, get things together, and you never know what will happen. But it's still a big game for 7A West contenders, I guess.
Yeah, definitely in prime time. A big game to look forward to there. Another big game going on in Arkansas this week, Sheridan at El Dorado, and that's the first time El Dorado's played, what, since, like, what was it?
September 2018, I think.
Right.
September the 18th was the last time the El Dorado played. Jonesboro beat Sheridan last week, 52-27. El Dorado's 0-3, lost to Magnolia for the first time in 14 years this year. Two teams that are really kind of feeling their way out through this as well, kind of the same type of deal with all these other games that are under the radar. Not quite championship contending games, but good games to be at nonetheless. And, Sheridan is trying to bounce back from that 52-27 loss to Jonesboro. It's going to be a good ball game down in El Dorado.
Absolutely. Anytime you go down to El Dorado, you know those. It's going to be a good game down there, too. So another game going on. Two lost teams to, you know, facing over Pine Bluff at Jonesboro.
You know, one of the games that if you want to see athletes on the field, this is where it's at, Pine Bluff and Jonesboro. Those two teams really are full of athletes and, you know, down through the years have been just incredible football programs. And so I definitely am looking forward to seeing what happens coming out of Northeast Arkansas this week when Pine Bluff and Jonesboro take on each other. And, of course, these are conference foes. It's not a short trip from Pine Bluff to Jonesboro for sure, but these six 6A East matchup right there.
Looking over in 5A, you have a 6-0 win at Valley View, who's 4-1, so you know that's going to be a big game.
You know, Wynn really looks to be one of the teams that you can consider a contender to PA, to Little Rock Christian. Carl Washington last week carried the ball five times for 171 yards and three touchdowns for the Yellow Jackets. It's going to be a good game over there in Valley View. Valley View's really come up over the last few years and become, you know, a team that moved from 4A up into 5A. That's a big jump. A lot of teams can't make that jump. P. Ridge seems to be making that jump decently this year. It's been a little bit for Valley View, but they are definitely a team to be reckoned with in the 5A East. But Wynn seems to be the team right now that is the best team over in that area.
Yeah, that's Wynn 6-0. They are proving themselves to be a serious contender in all of 5A. So that's going to be a big matchup there. Also going on, we have another 5-0 team in Prairie Grove at Shiloh Christian, a 2-1 team who's only played three games.
You know, Prairie Grove and Shiloh Christian really battle it out every year for that 1-4A conference. Two teams that have played for state championships in recent times or been really close to it. You know, it's actually crazy to think how long it's been since Shiloh Christian actually won one. It seemed like they used to win them every year. But this is probably for the 1-4A crown there. Prairie Grove has just given up 15 points a game this year. And Shiloh, they've really not been tested all that much this year. Win over Green Forest, a win over Berryville. Those are two teams that are probably going to finish the last two teams in that 1-4A conference there. The loss that Shiloh has is to Page out of Sand Springs, Oklahoma. I do expect Shiloh Christian, even though they haven't been all that tested, that they're still a very good team.
Definitely a good team, but Prairie Grove, you know, 5-0, they are again proving themselves as primetime contenders. So a good ball club on up in Prairie Grove. Also looking ahead, we have a 5-0 Ashdown team way down in Southwest Arkansas or Southeast, Southwest Arkansas. Let me get my geography right.
Yes.
Southwest Arkansas taking on a Malvern team, also from the southwest part of the state, at 3-2.
You know, athletes all over the field. Ashdown and Malvern, they're going to have athletes, and this is going to be an interesting ball game. Dame Malvern has got the home field advantage this week. And so, you know, we'll see what happens, but you're going to see lots of speed on the field. That's going to be a fun matchup. We'll be looking forward to that one and see what comes out of that.
Another big game going on in Arkansas. Camden Harmony Grove on the road at McGee.
Yes, that's probably your game of the week in the 3A. These two teams really, really match up well against each other. Again, another team or another game that you're talking about. Athletes galore. Last year, I watched McGee come up to Atkins and play in the second round of the state playoffs. And, man, I'm going to tell you right now, those McGee Owls, they will hit you. I mean, that was a physical ball game, and really they roughed up a good Atkins team last year that loved to air the ball out, and they did everything they could to keep them from it. One of the things that they did was rough those receivers up for Atkins, and Atkins had a tandem of wide receivers that were some of the best in the state, you know, and Creed Stubbs and Trent Casto. McGee handled them very well last year, but this is a little bit different of a ball game here. Different style, different type of athlete that you're going to see on the field with Camden Harmony Grove, but nothing that McGee hasn't seen so far. And again, McGee's got that home field advantage this week. But one of the things that we have to look at is the rain. There's going to be a lot of rain this weekend, especially in South Arkansas. So that is definitely going to play into the hands of the team that runs the ball well. And you know what? I wonder if they even might have to move those games at some point. We'll see.
Well, I know you mentioned the rain. I know Hurricane Delta coming in from the Gulf of Mexico is supposed to hit Thursday, Friday in that ballpark. Another game that it may be affecting over on the plains, the Arkansas-Auburn game, shows to go over Alabama-Mississippi area Saturday, so that could be a big game.
Well, you know, there's speculation on that game that they may move that game to Fayetteville, so we'll see. I mean, that's really hard to do, to be able to move a game like that, but you know, in these times, we found it's not nearly as impossible as it seems.
Anything's possible. And finally, another good game to keep an eye out on, those Rattlers from Magazine taking on the Hector Wildcats.
This is a game that Hector really wants bad. Hector used to be the team that ran that 4-2-A conference, and Magazine has really kind of taken that mantle from them, and one of the ways they've done is on the ground. They really run the ball well, and really better athletes than you think. Last year, Magazine roughed Hector up on Hector's home field last year. I was at that ball game. Magazine runs the ball very well out of that double wing, and really got some big kids on the offensive line for a 2A school. I love Ty Day. I love Gunnar Garrison. Those are two really good athletes for Hector. That's going to be a fun ball game, a 4-2-A matchup that, you know, right now in the 4-2-A, you've got Bigelow, you've got Magazine, you've got Hector, and you've got Quitman. I think that Quitman is probably a little lower than those two other or those three other teams, but this one right here can set one of those two teams up to really contend against Bigelow for that number one spot in the 4-2-A.
So that's a really big game going on just up there in northern Pope County. But those are some of the games of interest in prime time to keep a lookout for. And hopefully you can keep an eye on your team. Let us know how they're doing. Send us any stats that you have. Send us any highlights that you have. We'll be happy to take a look at them. And if it's prime time, it's going to be on prime time.
Absolutely.
And we had a lot of prime time performances this week. Brad, do you have any idea what we're looking at on those?
Lots of good players.
Let's take a look. We do have several players that we have picked out with some prime time performances, starting with Landon Rogers out of Little Rock Park View.
Absolutely. Landon Rogers, the Razorback commit, 18 carries, 150 yards, 11-17 passing. Almost got that 300-yard mark for total offense, but four touchdowns always gets you a consideration to be a prime time player. And Park View takes the victory last week, and big game this week as they take on Benton, which we're going to get to in just a minute in our primetime picks.
That's right. So the big game for Landon Rogers, again, 18 carries and 150 yards, four touchdowns through the air. Outstanding performance by Landon Rogers. And then also in Blytheville with the Chickasaws, we have Jeremiah Northern.
You know, I actually challenge anybody that might have to see who had a better game than Jeremiah Northern last week, or really – any game this year. Northern set a school record with 410 passing yards, 141 on the ground. He had 551 total yards of offense and six touchdowns, Bill.
Six. Count them.
Jeremiah.
That's more than one hand,
absolutely.
I found out.
Blyville, Jeremiah and Northern doing a great job there, quarterback for the Chickasaws.
And then, listen, anytime you have that star that says state record next to a performance, that's prime time. That's going to be on here.
Absolutely. Ben Weiss from Conway, 28 of 45, 448 yards and four touchdowns in the loss to North Little Rock. But Ben Weiss having a great year this year. I think he's got almost 1,300 yards passing. Again, you know, you're not used to Conway airing it out as much traditionally. Of course, a lot of these teams that you're traditionally not used to, they all air it out now. But one team that's not airing it out is the Cedarville Pirates and Daryl Kadich. Daryl Kadich, 24 carries, 217 yards, and one touchdown.
And over 1,000 yards in five games. That's something that a lot of people don't do over the course of a season.
Absolutely. And really, he's getting a lot of looks right now out of Cedarville, which, you know, I'm a little bit familiar with the Cedarville program. And I can tell you, you know, there's not a lot of kids that come out of that program that get college looks. Kadich is a big-time beast over there. And if you haven't seen the highlight, look it up. He hurdling a kid from Charleston. And, you know, last week we talked a little bit about that Cedarville and Charleston game as a game that Cedarville really wanted to win. Unfortunately for the Pirates, they were unable to win that game. 36-34 was the final score there at Charleston. But what a ball game that was to be at.
We also have some other primetime performers to throw at you. Jaden Strange out of Stuttgart and the Rice Birds. Big game out of that quarterback right there.
133 yards passing, 102 yards receiving, two passing touchdowns, and three rushing, or three receiving, I should say. What a performance by Mr. Strange, and I've heard a lot of good things about Mr. Strange as a guy, Jaden Strange, as a guy that is going to be highly recruited, just a sophomore from Stuttgart.
And I'm telling you, listen, when you're getting it done throwing it, you're getting it done catching it, four out of five passing, I mean, he only missed one pass. Is he throwing it to himself?
You know, I'm not sure, but all I can say is you don't see that stat line very often where you got passing, receiving. You got, a lot of times you get passing and rushing now, but, man, passing and receiving. Jaden Strange had a great game for the Rice Birds last week.
Also out of, what is that, Watchin' Chapel and the Wildcats, we have Mr. Shaw, quarterback number two. Check out these stats. 14 carries, 264 yards.
Eight out of 14 passing for 75 yards, and again, six touchdowns. Now, you know, there's a theme on this page here, Bill. Sophomore. We've got a senior in the mix and another sophomore that we're going to talk about just a little bit later. But the senior, Tyler Gee, and boy, we need to get that name right there. Tyler Gee, 11 of 20, 312 yards and three touchdowns in the win over Collierville, Tennessee.
And, you know, you're going on the road, anytime you go on a long road trip, especially when it's out of state, and perform like that, you're putting some eyes in the state of Arkansas, you're shining some lights in the state of Arkansas, and you're letting everybody know that the Cabot Panthers were prime time.
Absolutely. Finally, Dardanelle quarterback Drew Vega, sophomore kid that I've watched grow up, 150 rushing yards and 11 of 15 passing for 140 yards over Lamar last week. And again, six touchdowns accounted for Mr. Vega as we wrap up this week's primetime performances.
So those are some big kids, big studs, some primetime performances, and that's what we want to see on this show, is we want to be able to take a look at all of these performances, these primetime athletes and their primetime stats, and we want to let you know about it, because the more people that know that, hey, you know, we're looking at Drew Vega, a sophomore out of Dardanelle who's taken it into the end zone six times, you know, that's a kid that we want to promote, that's a kid that you need to know about, and more importantly, that's the kid that all of the colleges around here need to know about.
Absolutely. So as we wrap this thing up, we're going to bring you some picks. I know people, everybody loves to see the picks. They love to beat those that are supposed experts. And, you know, we're going to bring it to you today. And you can tell us how dumb we are and how smart we are after this is all said and done. And the good thing is that Bill and I pretty much split on these picks.
Yeah, we did. And I thought, well, you're doing that to me on purpose, Brad. I sent you my picks, and you're like, I'm going to go against all of them. But our first pick, Conway at Cabot. That's a big game. I like Conway in this game, Brad, because, you know, although they lost to North Little Rock 39-37 Friday, they've been off 3 weeks prior to that. Five lead changes in that game. That's a game I would have liked to have been at. It was just an absolute barn burner. And again, we mentioned quarterback Ben Weiss, 28-45, 448 yards with four touchdowns. And the biggest stat out of those that I'm seeing is the non-stat, no interceptions. I like what this kid is doing. He has a lot of intangibles, a lot of deep threats, and a lot of different ways to run the football.
This is a rivalry game, and you know, really, when it comes down to it, if this was at Conway, I'd probably pick Conway. But right now, I'm going to go with the Cabot Panthers. They're riding high of going across state lines, beating Collierville, Tennessee. Mr. Tyler Gee has gotten a lot of pub today. Gets an opportunity against Conway. This is going to be, a high-scoring affair. I like the Cabot Panthers to take it over Conway, but I think it's going to be a fun game to be at. And, you know, again, weather. What does the weather look like? That's going to be a
good point. We made these picks. I wasn't really thinking about the weather, but that could absolutely change the complexity of this game, and it's going to be an interesting to see how that happens how the game goes. Another game in Parkview. We mentioned Parkview earlier in the broadcast. Benton at Parkview. That's going to be a big game. I like Benton.
Benton is a tough team. This is one of the toughest ones to pick, really, when you come down to it. I liked Parkview, and the reason I like Parkview is Parkview is one of the more talented, if not the most talented, up and down the roster team that is in the state of Arkansas. Lots of D1 looks on this team. The quarterback, Landon Rogers, is one of those guys who accounted for almost 300 yards of total offense last week in their victory. And, this is a toss-up game as well. And I'm just going with what I feel like is the more talented team, but I know Benton is going to be a tough foe for Parkview.
It absolutely will be. But the big thing about Parkview is another Hog recruit, Aaron Outley, the big tight end. He's a Hog commit. He is not available for this game. He's out indefinitely, really, with a knee injury. So without that target, what is Landon Rogers going to do? And I think that could play a role in this game. You look at the studs that Benton has. Looking at some stats here, we have quarterback Barrett Brown, 22 out of 31, 242 yards and four touchdowns last week at Siloam Springs, getting it done on the ground as well. Their tailback, Casey Johnson, 5.7 yards per carry. This is an interesting stat here, Brad. Five receivers with more than 10 catches apiece. So that lets you know that the intangibles are there. The wide openness of the offense is there. The quarterback able to check the check downs and get it to different receivers. And it's that I choose Benton.
What a dynamic that Parkview has added to that conference. You've got Benton, Parkview, Greenwood. Those three right there are just, that league is a much better league this year than it has been in the past. But, you know, again, here we are split, Bill. I'll take Parkview, you take Benton, and we're split again on this 4A pick, the game of the week in the 4A, no doubt. Joe T. Robinson at Nashville, 7-4A matchup, and that 7-4A is just brutal down there, and really has been over the last 4 or 5 years the SEC of the 4A. I like the Senators. The Senators have been untouchable unless they went to Texas. Last week was a rough go of it. You know, again, one of those COVID type of things. They were able to pull out a game. Unfortunately, you know, Texas football is a different story. You know, it's a whole different ball game down there.
We'll give the Senators a mulligan on that one.
Just pretty much. I mean, honestly. And then when you think about the fact that they come up, the team that they played, Trinity Christian, came up and gave Bryant all they wanted up here. You know, Bryant is right now the best team in the state, really, by far, or at least it seems to be. You know, Joe T just, you know, again, like you said, take a mulligan. I like the Senators, but going to Nashville is going to be tough.
Nashville is going to be tough. Listen, I've played a lot of times against those scrappers, and they've sent me home crying in my root beer a few times on some late playoff drives. Listen, you never want to play Nashville. There is never a good time to take on Nashville, especially when their defense last week forced 6 turnovers, 5 interceptions by 5 different players at Fountain Lake. And it's that, for that reason alone, they're showing some great defense. You know, you can look up in Fayetteville and know that they have a lot of great athletes that are coming out of Nashville historically. You know that the player progression in that program is good. They're going to have some great players, and because of defense, I think defense wins that game. I'm going to take the Scrappers.
Ozark Dardanelle is a game that was supposed to be played a couple weeks back, but because of COVID cancellations, here we are now. Pottsville was supposed to travel to Dardanelle this week. Ozark gets the game against Dardanelle because Ozark was supposed to have a bye. It fell at the right time, and these are the two best teams in the 4-4A. I like the Hillbillies in this ball game. I mean, Ozark has been the standard for the last 3 years there in that league, and this year I don't feel like it's any different, although I do feel like that both Ozark and Dardanelle are a little bit closer to the rest of the pack than they have been in the past. I really think that Ozark wins this ball game at Dardanelle, but I will say this. Last year, Dardanelle had every opportunity to take a 2-touchdown lead in that ball game. They chose to kick a field goal up 6-0, I believe, and the field goal was blocked, and Ozark returned that for a touchdown, completely flipped the momentum of that ball game, and Ozark never looked back. We'll see how this works out this week for these two teams, but I like Ozark to beat Dardanelle this week.
And I think this is the closest, hardest game for me to pick personally, because I see these two teams as very evenly matched. Dardanelle beat Lamar 42-28 last week. We've seen Lamar in person. We know Brady James, star athlete for Lamar. He's hard to be stopped, and Dardanelle was able to do that, as well as we mentioned earlier, Drew Vega with his plethora of touchdowns. Kind of pick your poison, he's going to do it. And it has a nice receiver, Jordan Branson, a key target receiver for Dardanelle. The reason why I'm taking Dardanelle on this one, it's at Dardanelle, and I know their game day atmosphere for the Sand Lizards is top notch. If you're looking for a college type pregame atmosphere that traditionally will get your cheerleaders involved, your band is involved, the crowd is involved, Dardanelle is the place that can put on that type of pregame performance. It boosts up the kids. They love it. They play harder than anybody that I know of after that type of boosting from their fans. I like Dardanelle.
Again, going to be interesting to see what happens. This is most likely the winner wins that 4-4A with a victory on Friday night. One that we don't differ on this week, Bill, the only one that we don't differ on, we'd like Fordyce to travel to Junction City and win that ball game. Fordyce, defending state champions in the 2A, playing a perennial state title contender and really state champion. Really, there's been hardly anybody that can touch this team over the last few years. That's the Junction City Dragons. But right now, Fordyce seems to be the top of that classification. I like Fordyce to travel to Junction City and win that ball game.
I do as well. And when you look at it on paper, there's definitely some argument that can be made that Junction City can pull off that upset. But these same two teams played for a state title last year, and it wasn't very close. And I'm sure things haven't changed very much on campus for either one of them, especially when you look at this kid right here, running back Jaquez Cross, 361 rushing yards, 448 yards receiving, with 12 touchdowns. He's averaging all-purpose yards, 193 yards per game. So he is an all-around athlete, kind of the Swiss Army knife, if you will, of performers. Definitely a primetime performer. We're going to have this kid on as one of our primetime performers pretty soon. I can feel that coming. It might happen this week at Junction City. But, again, talking about playing devil's advocate, if there was any chance that Junction City wins this game, it's if you lock down Cross, shut him down. He's too dangerous. And if you double cover him, shut him down, anything like that, they have a chance to win. I think that's their only chance to win. But then again, Fort Ice is pretty tough.
Fort Ice is definitely tough, and Junction City. But when you travel down to Junction City, you're going to have to bring it. And you're talking about straddling the line between Louisiana and Arkansas. You're on the 50-yard line. You're in Arkansas. On the other side, you're in Louisiana. So definitely a different type of ball game. That's actually quite a ways. You know, I mean, that's Fort Ice, not too far from Sheridan. It's not just right next door to each other, but we both like the Red Bugs.
So that's where we're standing on our primetime picks and our primetime performance. Another great show, Brad.
Man, we really appreciate everybody that is getting in on this show with us. You know, we've had Wes Moore, Kyle Sutherland this week. You know, Mr. Hannah, Jordan Hannah with us this week. We're excited about where this show is going. Tell your friends about Primetime Preps. You can watch it. You can listen to it. You've got it on every platform that known to man. You can be a part of it with us. Let us know. You know, and again, we're going to wear your high school stuff. We got a little bit of Pottsville stuff this week. We had a little bit last week. But, you know, we want to put your team out there. You know, we want to make them prime time as well. So, for Bill, I'm Brad saying so long. We'll see you next week on Primetime Preps.